Doing with you. Kirk Ferentz met the media earlier today. We will we'll talk about that. Perhaps hear some audio from Kirk and the players. If not, APC definitely will have Kirk and the players coming up here today. Also, it's UNI Men's Basketball Media Day. Ben Jacobson talking with the folks that cover UNI basketball up in Cedar Falls. And we'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk Oklahoma State football. We'll do that with John Helsley from the Oklahoman coming up in just a few minutes. Cal Eldred will join us as well. The baseball playoffs getting started tonight with the American League wild card game. It will be the Baltimore Orioles in Toronto at Rogers Center to take on the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. We'll have it for you, all three of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, and 106.3 FM coming up tonight. We'll join up at 7 o'clock, 7:08 is the scheduled first pitch for that one coming up tonight. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon. Not surprisingly, that's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. Who wins the wild card game tonight?
Simple. Toronto or Baltimore? Who do you like? I think it's gonna. It could be fun. There could be some fireworks in this game tonight.
I like Toronto a lot.
You like Toronto?
Yeah.
I do too. I think they both had really good seasons, both the Orioles and the Blue Jays. Mark Trumbo has been outstanding. Machado has been outstanding for the Orioles. The Blue Jays can bash it with just about anyone out there. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a great, great time coming up tonight. And I'm not sure. As soon as I say it's going to be, it could be a slugfest, it's going to be 1-0 in one way or the other tonight. So there you go. We'll talk about the Major League Baseball playoffs in depth with Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit. We're not going to go over how we picked the races in the preseason quite yet.
Okay.
And then perhaps next week we'll go over our thoughts for MVPs, Cy Youngs, Rookie of the Year. Take a look at all the prizes that Major League Baseball will be giving out. Awards and prizes. So we'll do that probably coming up next week. But Kirk Ferentz met the media today. We'll start in Iowa City. And as Kevin Bacon so eloquently put it in the fine film Animal House, keep calm, everyone. All is well. All is well. Just a few tweaks.
Well, and it could be, you know. But it hasn't been just one game for the Iowa Hawkeyes. It's been 2.5 to 3 games that have kind of just laid there in terms of performance by the Iowa Hawkeyes. And here's another trophy game. Whether Kirk Ferentz can flip a switch and get this team going in the right direction, we're going to find out this Saturday, 11 o'clock. By the way, we'll have the pregame at 9 o'clock Saturday morning right here on KGYM.
Yeah, we will. And as far as the questions today, no, Cole Crosston is not going to be replaced. He is going to be in the starting lineup on the offensive line for the Hawkeyes. Just needs to do a couple tweaks. That was the main. You didn't expect anything different today. I talked to Alex when he got back from Iowa City. I said I read a few things online of what Kirk had to say, got his opinion on it. He said, same old with Kirk. And I don't expect anything different. It's not a Hayden Fry era down in Iowa City. You're not going to get the fire and brimstone talk today out of Kirk Ferentz, even though Iowa has lost 2 out of their last 3 football games.
We heard a lot on the gym class in the afternoon players club yesterday about the perceived lack of fire in this team and the passion and whatnot. I don't know if I totally believe that, because it's always been a business-like approach in Iowa City. But I think every team has a player or two out there that, and maybe it's Josie Jewell, I don't know, that is somewhat of a vocal leader. And I think people want to see a little bit of that.
Just a little bit of more fire, more emotion on the sidelines, perhaps. Not Odell Beckham-type emotion on the sidelines.
No, no.
But just, that's a whole other subject right there, as the Vikings vanquished the Giants last night in Minneapolis at U.S. Bank.
Yeah, Beckham's under quite a bit of scrutiny today because of his behavior on the field.
And should be.
I wasn't happy either. I had him in my fantasy league, and I mean, what do you
didn't deliver.
Three catches for 50 yards.
The Minnesota Vikings have a darn good defense.
Yes, they do.
And they are getting things done. Zimmer can coach. Vikings are good. Really good. Think how good they could be if they had a couple other performers
without out there. AP and Teddy Bridgewater, it's remarkable what they've done in the first four games.
Although Sam Bradford's been fine.
Been a great acquisition.
He's been terrific out there for the Vikings. Did a terrific job. As we mentioned here, a little bit from Kirk coming up in just a little bit. If you'd like to chime in, certainly welcome to do so. And you can do that on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. You can check them out online at jkainvest.com. Trusted advice for your financial future. And also in Cedar Falls today, in fact, going on right now, Ben Jacobson is meeting up with the media. 11 new players for the UNI Panthers. But as Ben Jacobson so eloquently said, what their goal is now is to just reload, not rebuild. Mm-hmm. That's pretty heady stuff in Cedar Falls for a Missouri Valley Conference basketball team.
Yeah, and it's going to be a different year for UNI. And Ben Jacobson, I know, talked a little bit today about possible red shirts and Tanner Lowhouse.
Probably Tanner Lowhouse, yeah.
And I got a lot of confidence in Ben Jacobson. It might not be a banner year, but I think they're going to still be very competitive.
Did you take a look at UNI's schedule? Holy mackerel. By the way, they start off with Coe College again this year. That will be on a Saturday afternoon. Saturday late morning at 11 o'clock on November the 12th. But then, here you go, off to the Puerto Rico tip-off, which is actually going to be in Orlando now.
What?
Yes, they moved it due to concerns over the Zika virus.
Okay.
It will be played at Orlando, I believe at the Disney Complex, but don't quote me on that. They will start off with Arizona State out of the Pac-12. They will take on then either Oklahoma or Tulane. How about that? It could be a Troy Dannon homecoming there in a way. Then on after they leave Orlando for three games against very good competition, they go to Xavier to take on a Xavier team that's going to be preseason top 10, if not top 8, top 5 perhaps. Xavier is going to be really, really good this year. Come home to take on George Mason. Go out to Wyoming, which is going to have a pretty good team this year in the Mo Valley Mountain West Challenge. Then North Dakota. Then Iowa in the Hy-Vee Classic. And then, just a little trip down to Chapel Hill in the middle of the week to take on the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Find out real quick how good they're going to be.
That is a very... You tell me a Division I schedule in the non-conference that is harder than the one that you and I. But you know what? That's Ben Jacobson's formula. Mm-hmm. He has found out you have to do that. You have to go out. You have to schedule these people to help you RPI. If you knock off a couple of them, boy, that puts you in the stratosphere as far as your RPI is concerned.
Yeah, that game in North Carolina, of course, is the return match for North Carolina going to Cedar Falls last year, and it was all designed to have Marcus Page have his homecoming there. And thank you, Tyler. So that's just one of many games on that schedule. You outlined it. It's daunting.
It is. New black uniforms for UNI this year with the shorts starting off black and turning purple on the bottom. It's a look, man.
Doesn't play well on radio, but I'm going to trust you on that.
Yeah. So there you go from UNI Media Day. 13 minutes past the hour of 3. We have a Dr. Pepper prize pack we'll be giving away today as well, and we'll have one all this week here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper t-shirt, plus some KGYM swag, including one of our famous KGYM pint glasses. And for more information, you can go to our website. Check it out at kgymradio.com. And again, we got the poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway up there that you can vote on right now.
Yep. Who do you like, Baltimore or Toronto, in tonight's American League wildcard game?
And we will check with Cal Eldred on who he likes. We both like Toronto, though, the way it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. National League coming up tomorrow. That will be the Giants and the Mets from Citi Field in New York. Same story, 7 o'clock, we'll join up, 7:08, although that one is 7:09. Don't ask me why, they need another minute tomorrow night, but they just need another minute tomorrow night. All right, we will take a break, come back, and John Helsley's going to join us from the Oklahoman. He covers Oklahoma State football and basketball, and we will talk with him about the Cowboys hosting Iowa State coming up in Stillwater at Boone Pickens Stadium coming up on Saturday. You can catch that game right here, by the way, on KGYM 1230 with the pregame show coming up Saturday afternoon on 1600 AM. Back with more after this.
Happy fall, y'all. Dave Wright here from Dave Wright Nissan Subaru. Thanks to a very successful anniversary sale, I'm all stocked up with quality pre-owned vehicles. It's Stocktober, and these cars are ripe for the picking and bursting with savings. Right now, get a nicer, newer car with only $7 down. Squash your old ride and get the nicer, newer car you've always wanted for just $7 down. Plus, my For the People credit approval process has the banks and lenders falling all over themselves to approve you. So don't spend another minute in a car you hate. Carve out time to visit Dave Wright Nissan Subaru today. We've got the wheels and the deals that are ripe for picking. But hurry, this deal ends when all the used cars are gone or the end of the month, whichever comes first. I'm Dave Wright, your dealer for the people. Visit Dave Wright Nissan Subaru this weekend at the corner of North Center Point Road in Boyson, or see all the cars at DaveWrightAuto.com. That's DaveWrightAuto.com.
Credit requires bank approval. Vehicle purchase price affects actual discount. Negative equity may be refinanced.
We know living in a strong, thriving society is important to you. For more than a century, United Way of East Central Iowa has helped make this a reality. From investing in your children's future to ensuring you have safe and affordable housing and helping you navigate the healthcare system, they're with you from day one. When you support United Way, good things happen in our community. So how can you make a difference? You can volunteer, advocate, give. That's the power of you, and that's our United Way. Visit uweci.org/give to learn more.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
We are back. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to talk baseball with Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away as well. That'll be coming up here before we set sail at 4 o'clock today. Again, the Major League Baseball American League wildcard game coming your way tonight. Toronto hosting the Baltimore Orioles. Coming up this Saturday, Iowa State off a very good performance, but not a victory against top 15 rated Baylor. They will head to Stillwater to take on the Cowboys of Oklahoma State. And John Helsley, kind enough to join us right now, covers Okie State football for the Oklahoman. And John, good afternoon. How are things going in Oklahoma today?
Today things are going all right. It's a little windy here, but other than that, it's pleasant. You know, just kind of marching through the week.
Hey, John, since this team got robbed against Central Michigan, how have they performed?
You know, they performed pretty well. You know, they bounced back that following week when it was pretty crucial against a decent Pitt team and played well and won. Did not play all that great defensively at Baylor, but, you know, came back again last week and fixed some things at halftime and took care of Texas. So that Central Michigan game will hang over them for a while because, you know, it's a game they felt like they should have won, obviously. But I think they feel like they're making good progress.
I was just going to say, what is the hangover? Is there any hangover still from Central Michigan, both with the fan base and probably lesser to a lesser extent anyway with the team?
I think the hangover is gone with the team. Unless you bring it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the same with the fans. And if you bring it up to them, they get a little upset, a little agitated. But other than that, I think they've moved on. And they recognize you have to move on in this league. You know, you just have to if you're going to, you know, end up in a good bowl and do some good things at the end of the year.
Oklahoma State with one of the best passing attacks in the NCAA. Talk about Mason Rudolph and his weapons.
You know, Mason's really just continued to develop you know, it's just really his second and a half, you know, year as a starter. He's a junior, but just played the three games as a true freshman. Last year started to come on late in the season, and he's been really good this year. You know, the weapons helps. James Washington's really a big-time receiver. They're missing, you know, what would have been their number two receiver. Marshall Aitman had a foot injury in the summer, and he has not yet returned from that. But Chris Lacey and Juwan Seals, Jalen McCleskey, an inside receiver, has done really well. Had a couple of touchdowns against Texas last week. So he's got some guys to really spread the ball around to, and he's comfortable doing that. You know, Washington's really the primary guy as far as the big play guy, but Mason's more than willing to spread it around.
You talked about the Texas game from last week, and how big was it for the Cowboys to come away with the victory in that one? They win it 49-31, but coming off the loss in Waco and what happened a couple weeks earlier in Central Michigan, Oklahoma State really needed that game.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, it looks like the Big 12 is going to be sort of a crazy wild run here to the end. You know, you can see that the champion might have two losses. You know, the Big 12 champion might have two losses. So if you just have one, you feel like you're still in pretty good shape. They've played Baylor and Texas now already, and you know, at the back end of the schedule, they'll get TCU and Oklahoma. So this middle part of the season is going to be real important for them to, you know, see if they fit into the discussion when we get to November.
Scott alluded to Iowa State really improving since losing back-to-back games to Northern Iowa, and Iowa gave Baylor all it wanted. What has Mike Gundy had to say about the Cyclones this week?
You know, they got their attention for sure. You know, they know about Joel Lanning because, you know, he may have had his breakout game against the Cowboys up there last year, 35-31 game. He played well, ran the ball well, so they're familiar with him, and it won't take a whole lot to impress upon the players. I don't think, you know, that this kid's for real. And like you say, they've definitely made some real progress here the last few weeks. They're taking it serious. I mean, this is a good team. Mike Warren, great running back. You know, Lazard out there at wide receiver. They've got players. So this is not an Oklahoma State team really that can, against anybody, just sort of roll out there and take care of business. They've got to really be focused in and take people serious.
Well, you mentioned the fact here, John, that the Big 12 is kind of up for grabs right now, more so, I think, than any other year that we've seen. Nationally, there might not be a team. Who knows how it's all going to play out by the time January rolls around that gets into that Final Four. But like you said, I could see a champion with one, maybe even two losses. So obviously Oklahoma State's still right in this thing.
As long as they continue to play well, when they do play well, when they don't turn it over like they did at Baylor, four turnovers, they don't turn it over, they're a pretty good team. And, you know, if they can continue to sort of minimize those mistakes, then I think they feel like they've got a chance to beat anybody on the schedule. But that goes for a lot of teams in this league. I mean, when you play well, I think you're going to see a lot of high scoring, you know, close games. And it's just going to be a matter of, you know, who's ahead when the final buzzer goes off.
What kind of game do you expect Saturday, John?
It's a good question. I'm not sure I know exactly what to expect. You know, neither team looks like they have a great defense, obviously. I'm not sure if either team has a good defense. That probably remains to be seen. So you would somewhat expect a high-scoring game, I guess. You know, Iowa State's played better lately. It'll be interesting to see when they're on the road, if they can continue to play that way. And then, you know, Oklahoma State says all the right things this week as far as, you know, taking this game serious. And they've been on a pretty rough run here with Pitt and Baylor and Texas, you know, consecutively. Is this a trap game for them? Who knows? So I don't have a great feel for it. I really don't. But I, just from what we see in the Big 12 week in and week out, I'm going to say it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, there are very few non-high-scoring games in the Big 12 Conference right now. You mentioned that trying to get a vibe in this game because I can see your point because a home game against Iowa State and then a week off, and then the Cowboys go to Lawrence to take on Kansas. And let's face it, no one's going to get motivated to go to Lawrence to play a Big 12 football game lately. And then it's at home against West Virginia. So I can see your point about having a weird vibe about this one.
Yeah, and I think early, you know, especially when Iowa State was losing those early games, you know, on the schedule, I think you probably looked at this and thought, okay, that'll be Oklahoma State's first kind of breather in the schedule, you know, since week one. But I think you got to take them serious now. I think obviously they got some things working on offense, and they definitely have weapons on offense. And so it's hard to get a great feel for this.
John, the expansion talk seems to change every week. I'm wondering what your thoughts on the possibility of the Big 12 expanding, or is it a dead thing right now?
I'm starting to lean that way. You know, I just don't see any natural teams to add to the league right now. You know, the most prominent that have been talked about, BYU and Houston, they both come with their own set of, you know, issues, travel with BYU for not necessarily just football, but for the other programs. You know, Houston is playing good football right now, but what happens when Herman leaves, which you would think would be in December?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the long-term viability of that program? I don't know. So I don't know that there's really that combination of teams out there that you add that upgrade your conference and get you a better TV deal and all the things that you want to come with that.
I wanted to ask you, John, about Mike Gundy. There's always speculation about when coach openings come out and they get publicized, Mike Gundy's name always comes up. Is he still being speculated upon for some of the openings that are out there?
You know, his name comes up, but there's never any traction that comes with that. And I think that comes mainly on Mike's side. You know, he played there. He's a graduate. He called it his New York Yankees job when he got the job. His parents still live in the area. His wife's parents still live in the area. You know, and they're getting up in age, and I think it's important to them that they're nearby to those grandparents, and their kids have grandparents that are nearby. I think something really, really cataclysmic would have to happen for him to leave. Maybe it's Boone Pickens continuing to spout off about him, and you know, maybe it's just a really, truly elite job that's too hard to pass up. So, you know, outside of one of those things happening, I don't think he wants to leave. I think he really enjoys himself in Stillwater. He's got a great piece of land out there where he has a lot of fun. You know, I think it's going to take something really out there for him to leave.
What's Boone's objection with Gundy these days?
Boone wants if you don't win a national championship, you're not in good shape with Boone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, lately he's been upset with Mike's record against Oklahoma, which is not great. You know, probably a couple of games in there they should have won. Probably a couple of games in there against Oklahoma that they did win that they shouldn't have won. But he seems to always have an issue with Mike Both those guys have some ego, right? And, you know, you're not a head football coach if you don't have some ego, and you're not a billionaire if you don't have some ego. And I think sometimes those egos clash a little bit.
Yeah, well, hey, Oklahoma State folks aren't the only ones that it's national championship or bust. You know, take a look at LSU, take a look at Auburn, take a look at USC perhaps, Texas down the road here.
You're right, and you know, Les Miles gets fired with a ridiculously good record. Texas, now people are starting to talk about Charlie Strom being on the hot seat. You're right, and it's a high bar world we live in, and an instant gratification world we live in.
Hey, John, I want to ask you a little bit about basketball before we let you go here today. Oklahoma State brought in a new coach, Brad Underwood, comes from Stephen F. Austin. I think a change needed to be made because the fans they didn't turn out toward the end of the year last year at Gallagher-Iba. What are your impressions of Brad Underwood so far?
So far, I think he's been just outstanding. You know, he fits what the program has been in the past. He fits what OSU fans want, and that he's a guy, he's a coach for the people. You know, he's out there. He's in the community, shaking hands and kissing babies and all that stuff, and he enjoys doing it, okay? If he can win some basketball games, and not necessarily a whole bunch of games this year because it's hard to say that that's going to happen, but if the next 2-3 years he can really win some basketball games, I think this turns out to be a home run hire because he fits the community. If you watched his teams at Stephen F., they played hard, they played smart, they played good defense. You know, they won two NCAA tournament games, which Travis Ford didn't do in his entire time at OSU. I think this guy can coach, and I think he's going to be a guy that OSU fans can really embrace.
Yeah, I would agree. We know all about Brad Underwood from you and I, and Stephen F. played several times over the last several years. So, but there was always like a 9 in the morning, though, which is a little bit unusual. But, hey, the TV tells you when to play, you play.
Show up, collect the check. That's right.
Absolutely. John, appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and always good talking Oklahoma State Athletics with you.
I enjoyed it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. John Helsley, check out his stuff with the Oklahoman at 329. You can check out his stuff online as well.
I think that's going to be a real high-scoring game. I mean, you've been critical about the Big 12 and its defenses, or lack thereof, and I think this is a prime example of that.
Yeah, it's just good offense, though. As well.
That's a big part of it, yeah.
I think there's just so much good offense and so many good offensive minds in the Big 12. It's hard to play defense, but I would like to see a little bit more defense. As far as basketball is concerned, I think Brad Underwood will bring a lot more defense than Travis Ford did as far as Okie State basketball. They had to make a change. They had to make a change. That Iowa State-Oklahoma State game last year, there weren't 2,000 people at Gallagher Iba.
No, it was pretty pitiful, yeah.
And man alive. And that's a great tradition-rich basketball program.
Back to Eddie Sutton and others, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. 3:30 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to give you a chance to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred, though, when we come back and get his thoughts on the eve. Well, that was not last night. The day of the Major League Baseball playoffs. And we'll do that when we come back here on KGYM.
Buying life insurance used to be a pain in the... Not anymore. Many of you would rather have a root canal without anesthesia than buy life insurance. Pushy salespeople, medical exams, drawing blood, urine samples. Yuck. Now there's an easier way. In under 20 minutes on the phone, you can be approved and immediately issued up to $500,000 of high-quality term life insurance from top-rated companies. It's called Fast Life. No medical exam, no urine samples, no blood. And on top of that, you will save huge with Fast Life. There's no obligation to get a quote. It's quick, easy, and painless. You'll always get the best price. Call Fast Life at 800-254-9567. 800-254-9567. Spend a few minutes, save huge. Call 800-254-9567 or visit fastlife.life. That's fastlife.life.
It's me, the little voice in your stomach. And you know what time it is. Snack time. That means we need all-natural Oberto beef jerky. It's the delicious protein-packed snack that makes hunger a thing of the past. So listen to the little voice in your stomach and all those clocks telling you it's time to pick up some all-natural Oberto beef jerky.
Oberto beef jerky. You get out what you put in.
Refers to Alberto's All Natural line of beef turkeys. Minimally processed, no artificial ingredients.
A home burglary happens every 13 seconds. Ring Video Doorbell has been proven to stop burglaries before they happen by allowing you to see and speak to anyone at your door using your smartphone from anywhere. And now you can build a ring of security around your entire home, adding Ring's wireless weatherproof stick-up cam. With Ring, you'll know anytime anyone steps onto your property. For a limited time, listeners to this station get up to $150 off the Ring of Security Kit. Go to ring.com/PM. That's ring.com/PM.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Our thanks to John Helsley for joining us from the Daily Oklahoman, talking Oklahoma State Athletics with us. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, 12:30, coming up on Saturday right here on KGYM. And should be a very interesting one down there in Stillwater. Of course, Iowa State football presented by the Quad Cities International Airport, and also being brought to you by Lisa Nolan Real Estate, a REMAX Real Estate Concepts Realtor, online at lisanolanrealtor.com. Tonight, it is Major League Baseball and the playoffs getting underway. To talk about that and other things baseball, Cal Eldred, former Major Leaguer, joining us here on this Tuesday. Dreaming of being in a hunting stand somewhere in a tree, right, Cal?
No question. It's been 4 days, and now I've already got the shakes.
So you must still be here in Iowa, right?
I am, but this weather just doesn't want to cooperate. So, and that's okay. I've got plenty of things to do besides being in a tree stand. At least that's what my wife keeps reminding me of.
Cal, chance to weigh in on our poll question today. Perhaps you heard it. We're just asking folks which American League team advances to the ALDS. And we kind of want you to show your work, too.
Well, let's see. Where are the fans going? Where are we leaning so far?
Well, early in the voting, it's Toronto.
We both said Toronto as well.
Well, I'm going the other direction, fellas.
That's okay.
And maybe I'm going to be eating some crow here by the end of the night tonight. But I guess, and part of the reason why is I feel like Tillman has been throwing the ball pretty well. The thing that scares me about it is that Stroman has pitched some pretty big games for Toronto in the past. And you look at the fact that the Jays get to play at home. But I got a feeling, you know, you look at how Toronto last year came up with some big homers. They played some pretty good defense, and that's how they got into the playoffs and played well, performed well in the playoffs. But I just think the O's, they seem to have a steady confidence. And if Tillman in the middle of that bullpen can get the ball to Zach Britton, I got a feeling we may see him in the eighth inning to throw two innings to finish this game if the O's have the lead. And I think the O's are going to hit a big home run or two when they need it. So that's kind of where I'm leaning.
Jays were 10-9 against the Orioles this season, including 6-4 at home.
Yeah, and I do know that those two clubs know each other extremely well. The other thing is you've got a couple managers there, Buck Showalter, obviously with the vast majority of the experience. But I really think that when all is said and done, the Orioles just seem to be a little more steady. The Jays picked it up, and I know that it was the team that I was rooting against, but figured we're going to get into this wild card game. But I still think that the O's have done what they just have throughout the year. I've doubted them and doubted them and doubted them at different times. I thought they were going to falter, whether it was they were going to strike out too much because they're hitting too many home runs. But I really think that it doesn't matter where these guys play. They hit homers, and I think that that's something that is going to come up huge tonight.
Let me throw a little curveball at you, Cal. If this was 2 out of 3, which I think all three of us believe the wild card should be, if it was 2 out of 3, would you still favor the Orioles?
No. You guys saw that guy by the name of Sanchez pitch the other day?
Yeah.
That guy's nasty. Yeah. And if you could mix him in there, I think overall – that's why this one-game playoff, guys, and we've said it how many times, usually doesn't – it's not always about the best team winning in this situation. It's one game. It's too small of a sample size for teams that have fought so hard to get into the playoffs. And everybody understands it going in, but I think then the Jays will have more at-bats. And if you're going to do that, I think that I would probably favor the Jays in that situation. Mm.
These two teams, especially the Blue Jays, they have been very volatile. Let's just say that over the last couple of years. Could you see some fireworks happening tonight?
Well, it's interesting because even John Gibbons, their manager, mentioned that they get pitched inside and they don't like it. They feel like it's not just the Texas Rangers or the New York Yankees that have taken shots at him, that there's been teams that have continually done this. But yet I was reading an article the other day and talking about some of the hitters for the Jays, and repeatedly you talk about pitching them in. They said if you can throw in for strikes, then you have a chance of beating them, and that Batista is really the only guy you have to be careful with about missing in over the plate. I mean, any power hitter, you miss in over the plate somewhere, that's not in, it's over the plate. But to pitch him off the plate and push him back off the plate, and then you end up getting routine fly balls instead of balls driven in the gap, balls hit over the fence. So I don't think that's going to change. And there's no question, Scott, I could see some fireworks happening here because the fans are going to be jacked up, they're going to be motivated, they're going to be screaming their heads off. in the Rogers Center there. And the teams are going to be hyped up. They're the first team to, these are the first two teams to get going. But, and I know that, you're going to see some pitches inside from Tillman and the staff.
National League wild card tomorrow night. It's San Francisco at New York. And, let's get your thoughts on that.
Well, this one's a tough one to call. But I'm going to go with a gut here, and it's something that's a little bit against the grain, maybe. But I really feel like the Mets are going to win this ball game. I think it helps they're playing at home, even though you look at the history of the wild card games. The visiting team they're 6-2 in the wild card game. But and I know they've got Bumgarner going, but they've got Syndergaard going, and I think Syndergaard had a pretty easy time with the Giants the last time that he faced them. But for some reason, I feel like I watched Bumgarner's last start, and they end up pulling out a win, but I just feel like he's not as sharp as he has been in the past. And I know guys, the big game guys, turn it up. I've watched him do it. I've watched Kershaw do it. I've watched Wainwright do it. So it's something that he can turn it up. But I really think that for some reason, I'm feeling like the Mets are going to do it.
Bumgarner hasn't been as good on the road as he has been at AT&T. Certainly, that is the case. I think that is going to be an amazing game tomorrow night because you got two of the better pitchers around. My second question to this, Cal, is which team matches up better against the Cubs and which team would the Cubs not want to see come out of that?
I don't think the Cubs really care at this point. I think maybe what they would like to see is the Mets win simply because they've got a little revenge factor going on. And if I'm the Chicago Cubs, with all the things that is San Francisco Giants, I don't want to be playing them in the playoffs in an even year. I mean, that sounds crazy. But I saw the Giants do what they had to do in sweeping the Dodgers at the end of the season, albeit at home. And the Giants have dominated the Dodgers there in San Francisco. But San Francisco, man, they can be as hot as anybody and as cold as anybody. So tonight's game depends on which San Francisco team shows up. But I also think from the Cubs' standpoint, they don't care because they have enough pitching to push beyond either one of these teams' starting pitching and bullpens for that matter.
Speaking of pitching, and we're talking with Cal Eldred here at 3:42 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Cubs, Joe Maddon announced today, even though it is a best of five, they are going to go with a four-man rotation. Well, we lost Cal. We'll get him back. We'll get Cal back on the phone here. I'll save my question about the Cubs' four-man rotation.
I know where you're going with it, and I think it's a good one.
It is a good question. So we'll get Cal. He'll call right back here, and we'll get him back on here at 3:42. We're going to have a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away as well. That'll be coming up here in just a couple of moments. As that includes a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, some KGYM swag, as well as some Dr. Pepper swag. And thanks to everybody, Mr. Carter down the hill, for helping us out with that. We do appreciate it. I think we got Cal back. Cal?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Hey, I was going to ask you, Joe Maddon announced today four-man rotation they're going to go with. Despite the fact that it's a best of five, they're going to go Lester, Hendricks, Arrieta, and Lackey. Good move, or would you have gone with a three? Now, keeping in mind the fact if they probably need to have Lester turn around and throw game four, they probably can make that move.
The thing I like about this is that every one of these guys has really contributed, and it gives all of them a chance to contribute. And like you said, they can always change the back end of this if need be. But I also like the fact that for them looking for the longevity of the playoffs, because you can have Lester make two starts and Arrieta make two starts, and they need Hendricks and realize they need extra time. Well, this gives them extra time. It gives them extra rest. It's what they've been doing with their rotation over the last, 3 weeks. So it's something that they're used to, and they're seeing that they're still pitching well. And so I think this is important. I think that this helps the Cubs' chances deeper into the playoffs. They have enough confidence in their team overall, not just their pitching, that they are able to go to a four-man rotation, and if they need to score a bunch of runs in the ninth, they can.
Well, Joe Maddon's pushed all the right buttons this year, I think, Cal.
He really has. You got to give him a lot of credit. And it's not just Joe. The thing that I think people need to really realize, partly about him, he lets his coaches do their jobs. And if the front office is willing to give them help, if there's something coming from the analytics department, if there's something coming from his strength and conditioning department or the medical staff, he lets them do their jobs. And part of that is listening and taking all that into consideration and then making the moves that he feels is best. And so far, and when managers do that, those kind of guys, and you give them some halfway decent players, they're usually pretty successful.
Let's move on to the other two first-round matchups that have already been determined. You'll have the Dodgers and the Nationals going at it in a best-of-five. That's going to be a lot of fun. And you got the Cleveland Indians and the Boston Red Sox going at it. My first thought about the fact that the Indians going up against the Red Sox, I don't know if the Indians have enough pitching left. They've been really hit hard over the last couple weeks or so as far as their starting pitching is concerned. Do you agree with that?
I do agree, Scott, and I think what you could see is you could see maybe one close game in this series, and then Cleveland's going to have to come up and score a lot of runs. Because Boston knows that if their starter goes out and doesn't pitch extremely well, or that, number one, that their bullpen has been much, much better as the season has continued to move on and as the season has gotten older, their bullpen's been much, much better. And Kimbrel's been better. They've had a guy like Joe Kelly who stepped up in that bullpen. Some of the things that their bullpen has done has been quite amazing of late. But Boston, the thing they know, they can score runs. And they've got a lot of momentum going. Cleveland had a fantastic year. Their year didn't go like they had planned, but because they didn't even have Michael Brantley for almost the entire season, all but a few at-bats, but they've done it, and they found a way, but I think their pitching is going to be short, even with Miller in the bullpen.
And then there's the National League, the other game, Dodgers, Washington, and the Nats with home field advantage.
Well, this one's not easy to call.
No.
Can you guys tell me which Dodger team is going to show up?
Yeah.
Good question.
It's frustrating, and I'm not sure what to expect here. I want to say I just, unfortunately, my mind just stays on this first matchup with Kershaw and Scherzer. I mean, I can stop all activities and watch this ball game. I think it's going to be a great ball game to watch. But after that, I'm like, it just kind of becomes a toss up. Gio Gonzalez could come up big, really simply because the fact that the Dodgers have had so much trouble with left-handed pitching, and it neutralizes that a lot of their left-handed hitting. So that can be a leaning towards what, you know, success for the Nationals, but the Dodgers, I don't know. You can't, and I always know, and you guys know this, that when teams win their division, there's usually a little bit of a letdown, and it may have been a lot to ask for the Dodgers to go to San Francisco and to have a whole lot of success. They probably partied hard enough the day that they won it on a walk-off home run. They won the division in Vin Scully's last day, and it's in Dodger Stadium that they had that hangover, but they were still having something to play for, and it was home field advantage. They lost that. But I'm in that situation right now. I'm favoring the Nationals to win this because the Nationals have something to prove in the playoffs too, but yet the Dodgers also do.
Dodgers have to win when Clayton Kershaw is pitching. Don't they? I mean, I think they just have to. And he hasn't had a great deal of success in the postseason.
You say that about Scherzer, too, couldn't you?
Well, I think the Nationals are a little bit deeper, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with you could say that. No question, Mark. You could say that. But I think with Gonzalez, the lefty, with Tanner Roark, I don't know, however they're going to use that guy, he always pitches some valuable innings for them. But I think that if they had Strasburg, this would be a no question. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes. I think so. No question. No question.
Mark, what are you thinking?
I think for sure, but I'm it's a qualified for sure, though, because of Strasburg's injury history. You know?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I just feel like the one thing that the Dodgers have on their side is they have that mixture of youth. You're going to look at Seager and Peterson who are going to get some playoff experience now. And I think that's very valuable. But I still think that I think the Nationals have decided, and I think their matchup against the Dodgers, I think they match up against them pretty good. That is the team. I think the Nationals is the team that the Cubs do not want to play. And it just seems like they match up pretty well against Chicago.
Have you landed on a World Series prediction, Cal, knowing who's in now?
Man, when I look at this, I'm trying to draw the lines as to who I think is going to get there. I think the Texas Rangers and the Chicago Cubs are going to get there. That's who I feel. The momentum I know is going with Boston, but I feel like Texas and the Cubs are going to get there. And then once you get there, I feel like the Cubs are a better team than the Texas Rangers, but yet I feel like Texas has that experience, and they've got a lot of guys in their club that have been so close to winning a world championship. There's four guys still left from the 2010 World Series team, but a lot of those guys have been close. And Cole Hamels has the experience of winning that. So it gets to be a toss-up, but those are the two that I think will get there. I guess I felt like it all year. I've been saying it all year. I think the Cubs, this is probably their year.
Start the party. All right. So you've said Baltimore. We both said Toronto. And officially, who do you like tomorrow night?
I like the Mets tomorrow night. I'm going with Syndergaard. That's who I think is going to step up.
All right. Mark, who do you like tomorrow night?
I like San Francisco.
You like San Francisco. Boy, if I had a coin, I'd be flipping it right now. Because it is a tough one. That is just going to be so much fun just to watch those two pitchers go at it. I think it's gonna be Syndergaard at home, though. I think he's gonna pull through. I think he's gonna pull through, and then I think the Cubs beat the Mets. Then sorry, Tyler. I'm gonna make one of those guys unhappy.
the thing about these games, and I always say this, but you want. You know, we're not talking so much about the pitching matchup in the American League wild card game, but we sure are about the NL. And you hope that these games are as close as you think they will be, and you hope that it's not decided on an error or a missed call. Those are the things. Let's just have somebody get a clean hit, and that's how it works.
Or something goofy and unusual.
No question.
Do you like, let's see, it'd be the Cubs and the Mets. Who would you like in that one, as that'll probably be over by the next time we talk?
Yeah, I do like the Cubs, and I like Texas in the American League too. I think that the Cubs, if they want the Mets, I really think they want the Mets, and they've got something to prove there. Maybe I'm completely wrong. They don't want to see some of those high octane fastballs, but they don't have as many of them now as they did last year.
I like Texas, too.
I would love to see a Cub-Red Sox World Series. Cubs going to Fenway.
Because I think it'd be great for baseball.
Oh,
I think it would be the best tonic to get people. Well, we lost Cal again. We'll get him back on here, 3:52, to get his. While he's calling back, what are your? Let's get your prediction for, let's see. Let's go Cubs-Giants for you. See, I think the Cubs want to face the Mets. I'm with Cal.
I don't think there's any question. I'll still go with the Cubs.
You're going to go with the Cubs. All right. How about Texas versus Toronto?
I'm going to go Toronto.
You're going to go Toronto?
Yep.
In that one. Okay. He's going to go Toronto in that one. And let's see. I'm going to go with Texas.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Texas. I'm going to go with the Nationals as well. I think they're going to get the victory in that particular series, and I like Boston. I like Boston as well. All right, Cal, you're back.
Yes.
I took Washington.
I am a Texas. I think Texas is going to come through. Didn't both you guys say Texas?
I took Texas. Mark? He likes Toronto.
I do like Toronto.
I can see that. Do you like it because of their pitching, or do you like it because of their offense?
Their offense.
Yes.
All right. And then, let's see, Cal, how about Washington and the Dodgers?
I'm going with Washington.
Okay. Mark? I said Washington, so we're two.
Let's make it a clean sweep. I'm sorry, Rusty, but.
He's got enough things going on with Tennessee winning games at the end right now. Cal, Boston or Cleveland?
I'm going to go with Boston, guys.
Yep.
I think they've got the momentum, and they've got a lot of reasons to play, and their offense is phenomenal.
All right. So we all think it's going to be the Cubs and the Nationals, and Cal and I believe Texas and Boston. Mark believes Toronto and Boston. American League East winning overall at this point. All right, Cal, good stuff. We hope you get out in a tree stand soon, and we will talk about probably the American and National League Divisional Series and look ahead to the Championship Series coming up next week. And we're also going to go over our predictions at what we said in April, and we'll see.
Boy.
Yeah, that could be kind of ugly. And we'll also talk about the awards next week. How's that?
The poll question should be coming up for these games with your popcorn. Do you prefer plain popcorn? You just have the regular salt and butter, or do you go with hot tamales or candy corn while you're eating your popcorn?
Not candy corn. I'm not a candy corn
guy.
I'm
just going straight with the popcorn, Cal.
Do you like the popcorn?
All right. Hey, thanks, Cal.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the baseball.
We will. Cal Elder joins us on Tuesdays here on the Gym Class. All right, quick break. As we go to break, going to give you a Dr. Pepper prize pack. Caller number 6 right now at 319-366-1600. You are going to pick up a world-famous Dr. Pepper prize pack. Thanks to Steve Carter, everybody at Dr. Pepper Snapple for helping us out. 319-366-1600. Caller number 6, you will get that prize pack.
Summer's just too fast.
Yeah, wish you could make it to more stuff this school year.
Got a little thing called work, hon.
I know. Remember PMX?
The place you told me about with 3 and 4 day work weeks?
Yeah, the kids would love to see you more. So would I.
You're just saying that because I'm so good looking.
I'm serious. PMX would give us all more time together. You can apply on their website, ipmx.com.
ipmx.com. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow.
You're the best.
Get more time for the things you care about. Apply at ipmx.com.
The Scoreboard Show, Friday nights here on the Gym, is brought to you by J.D. Byrider in Cedar Rapids. Get a vehicle you can afford and depend on at J.D. Byrider and ask for the Booster Club bonus.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Congratulations going out to Charlie of Cedar Rapids. He gets a Dr. Pepper prize pack. Appreciate you listening. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com and talk fantasy football, brought to you by I'm On Communications. Also coming up tomorrow, our friend Mike Grimm, the Eastern Iowan, and the voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers will be joining us tomorrow to talk Floyd of Rosedale, Iowa, Minnesota. Sorry, man.
That'll be a lot of fun. Afternoon Players Club, of course, coming up next, 4 to 7 p.m. with Tyler Ryder and Todd Brommelkamp among the guests, 4:35, Austin Ward, ESPN Big Ten writer, and 6:35, Mark Morehouse from the Gazette.
Poll question, how's it going right now from Emil's Hideaway?
Let's see. The question, again, which American League team advances to the ALDS? Right now, it's Toronto.
All right, that comes your way tonight at 7 o'clock APC, coming your way next.
Are you being denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates? At CreditRepair.com, we know life happens. Divorce, medical bills, student loans, and many other reasons why credit scores